We started off with Jesus getting an important message and then, of course, being interrupted by that woman with the issue of blood. And I'm sure she was glad to meet his acquaintance, and I'm sure glad they preserved the account for us. What a blessing it is to know I just need to get near the Lord and everything will be fine. But Mark chapter 5, verse 21, picking up, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, I want to pay very close attention to some details here. We cannot run through the Bible. We got to take some time and look at what we're looking at. So, who are we talking about? We are talking about a man by the name of Jairus. What or who was he? Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. One of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, what was the synagogue? That was where you go to learn this perverted form of Judaism. And what do we know about the people that practiced and preached and pushed this perverted form of Judaism? Who did they not like? Jesus. So when Jairus went to Jesus and fell down in front of him, he was making a career move. You understand that? He was making a career decision. He was making a very social decision. He was making the decision not to be invited to any of his friends' banquets or dinners ever again. He was making the decision to be spat upon by other people from the synagogue for having gone to this Jesus. And he put it all on the line for two reasons. He loved his daughter, and he believed there was something Jesus could do about it. What faith? Sometimes we'll get going about our business and we'll do things and we'll forget to loop God in. And we won't pray to Him and we won't ask Him. Or sometimes we'll pray and we'll pray as though maybe God will do it. Maybe He won't. And we'll just see. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly how it does go. Maybe He'll do it. Maybe He won't. But when you pray, you ought to believe He can do it and that He will do it. With a heart completely understanding of the words no and wait. But as we look at his situation, we want to skip ahead a little bit to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. So the Lord is finishing up with the lady with the issue of blood. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Now, I'm trying real hard not to read too hard into this. Maybe the guy in the house believed, maybe they didn't. It says certain, could have been a guy, could have been a girl. Maybe they believed that Jesus was the master, maybe they didn't. But either way, it was this, don't bother him no more. Now, we've done this, I've done this, I've got a bit of a problem with this. I know some of you have a bit of a problem with this. You don't say you're going through stuff because you don't want to be a bother. You don't say you need help with something because you don't want to be a bother. Now, from that aspect, we can see the certain of the house. Don't bother the teacher, don't bother the master, because your daughter's already gone. It's too late. Can I tell you something? There's no such thing as too late when it comes down to God. Amen. No such thing. We could ask God for anything. He is capable of anything. And again, it does not mean that it is within His will, but you need to ask knowing full well there is nothing impossible for God to do. Amen. Nothing. What was the story of that woman a few years back? Her child had gotten out, just a tiny little thing, had gotten out, froze to death. She prayed and she prayed. And right there in the hospital, the Lord brought that child back. I can't remember how long it was, but they declared the child legally dead and came back. There's nothing God can't do. Nothing God can't do. It's too late. The kids have already gone too far. The grandkids are already too worldly. It's too late. Aren't you glad it wasn't too late for you? I've seen people with completely reckless lifestyles in their teenage years look down at their kids and go, well, it's too late for them. It's never too late. Never too late. We had I ran into a young man named Darren, pray for him, on Sunday. And just talking to him, and he's having this problem, and he's having that problem. And he's got a girlfriend, and he's got some kids, and he lost his job, lost his car, lost a whole bunch of things all up in a row. And I won't tell you what he lost it to, but he lost it to some. It ain't too late for him. Ain't too late for him. We go down to the prisons, we go down to the jail, people serving life sentences. It's not too late for them. Now, they may never get out of there, but that does not mean they can't have a God-fulfilling life right where they are. It's not too late. How many times have we prayed together in the last 3 years and something that was too far gone got done? We've been there. And yet, Lord, hey, don't mess with the master anymore. It's too late. Oh, we put ourselves into that position. It's too late. Because we don't believe God. Maybe we don't believe God can't do it. But sometimes we think that God would be more unwilling to answer our prayers given certain circumstances. That's not the case. There is no telling what God would do. There is no clearly defining what His will for the future is. It is ours only to ask. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And that is the title. That'd be the title of our message, you know. Man versus being afraid. Being not afraid, but believing. Because that's hard for us. Sometimes the problem is just not being afraid. We believe, but we're terrified. Lord, I believe you're capable of this. I believe it's possible for this. But for some reason, my knees are talking right now. Hey, listen, I know that God has a plan for all of this. But that doesn't stop the fact that I keep pulling on this and yanking on that. And just, I'm up at 2 a.m. Lord, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Anybody here, you like to drive down in Kentucky? My mom hates driving in Kentucky. My dad loves it. That's where he grew up, by the way. My dad grew up in the hills of Kentucky. He learned to drive in the hills of Kentucky. He learned to drive recklessly in the hills of Kentucky. But man, if you're going to be going anywhere in a hurry down in those hills and hollers, you want my dad driving you. There was a certain confidence that I had when Dad drove. We'd be close to the side of a hill. There'd be a part of a road that was damaged by something and wouldn't bother me a bit. Why? Because Dad knew what he was doing. Now, you don't tell her this. I hope she stopped listening to my sermons. But it was one time Mom had to drive. And I remembered, we're on some hollers and hills and this is dangerous. The nervousness came back. The fear came back. I remember the first time I drove through there by myself. Felt like I'd never driven before. It's all about our perspective. Why be afraid when the God of all creation is driving? Well, unless your hand is still on the wheel. Unless you still think you have a say-so in the matter. Why be afraid? And I know why, and you know why. Our sin nature is what it is. The fleshly body is what it is. It's going to have a reaction. It's going to be terrified. But at some point, we need to feed the spirit and rely on God and say, listen, I'm giving it to you. This is yours. And I will be a good steward. I will obey you. I will do all the stuff I'm supposed to. Right? No matter what your struggle is. You know, somebody gave me a hard time one time. So, you believe that God can cure anything wrong with you? Absolutely. And you still go to the doctor? Absolutely. Why? Because who do you think gave me a doctor? The body is a complicated thing. It is a mess of wires and meat and electrons and things firing here and there. It is a complicated thing. And for us to understand even what little we know about it is a miracle. It's a miracle. I know very little. I was talking to a doctor recently, and he's sitting there and he's asking me permission if he can prescribe me things. All right, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? After a while, I just looked at him. I go, sir, I think I went to Bible college, and I think you went to doctor college. So your word's the one we're going to be taking on this today. If you tell me I need antibiotics, antibiotics is what I will take. Why? Because I believe God allowed us to invent antibiotics. I think God put things here on the earth for us to find and be like, oh, that makes everything better. I think he did that. I think there's plants and things out there for us to find and grind up and take. I think those things are good for us. And God gave them to us. Why? To make us feel better. That's part of the miracle, isn't it? He could have very easily sat there and said, no penicillin. You grind up a particular kind of mushroom and it does nothing. How about that? But no, he gives it to us. And all the other ways that we concoct medications, he has allowed scientists and doctors to stumble across things. So you know what? I'm absolutely going to pray that God heals whatever's wrong with me. But you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to take my medicine. Because I believe that same thing that God gave me through that bottle, he could give me even more by his own hand. And maybe it was the pills and maybe it was his hand. Either way, Lord, thank you. I feel better today. Right? At least that's the way it should be. And any other thing. Hey, I've got issues with my work. I got wishes with my spouse. Issues over at the house. Whatever they are. Lord, they're yours. And I will do what I'm supposed to do while I am waiting to see what you'll do. Put yourself into the shoes of Jairus here. He's sitting there. Sir, my daughter's at the door of death. Come with me. And he stops to talk to this woman in the street. Now, anybody here, you're patient. Are you a patient person? I'm not always patient given certain circumstances. If I'm waiting in line for something, let's say I'm at Secretary of State, if I'm waiting in line, I've got a book, I've got stuff, I can be there all day. Sir, we are terribly sorry for the wait. Madam, this is the Secretary of State. It's what you offer. Right? It kind of goes hand in hand. It'd be like going to the Waffle House and not having syrup, right? One goes with the other. Don't worry about it. But if there's something of an urgent nature, and all of a sudden somebody comes and stands in front of me or something slows me down, patience is gone. If I'm waiting when I don't plan on waiting, or I'm waiting when I'm needing to move, because when I'm like this, when the engine's roaring, I got to keep going. I don't like the brakes. Could you imagine being him for just a second with my mentality? Who touched me? Doesn't matter who touched you, Lord. There's a bunch of people, come on, come on, come on. That's my daughter, come on, come on, come on. And we get like that. It's not fear, it's not anything else. It's just flat old-fashioned impatience turning into anxiety, revving our engine up for no purpose whatsoever. Wait. The hardest thing on earth, at least it is for me, it might be easy for you, hard for me, wait. I noticed when I was a kid there was a thing, there was kind of a theme with some of the children's books. That my parents would get me. There was a book, it was my favorite book of all time when I was as a kid. It was called Freddy's Spaghetti. It was all about a kid having to wait for the spaghetti to be done. And all the things little Freddy had to go do. And there was another book that I had that was a goose waiting on something. I had another book that was about another animal waiting on something. A train that was waiting for something. And one day I was 7 or 8 years old. I go, I got a lot of books about waiting. You know, and I took that one about the little boy waiting for spaghetti personally. You know, I took that as an affront. Because that's exactly when I would get in trouble. but no, we, hold on. Hold on. We can't act like we're going to get into a position where it's too late for God. Like we're going to miss his will. We might miss ours. But his will is better. the ultimate thing that needs to happen will happen. Because it's God who's going to be the one who does it. But what does the Lord say to him? Be not afraid, only believe. Fear is a terrible thing. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And it also will say that there was some, in other passages, says that there was some people playing music. What they were doing is they were saying goodbye. The minstrels were there playing songs. The family was there grieving. The people that worked in the house, served in the house, they were weeping. It was a very emotional time. But not the Lord. He says, you come with me. And so often we find ourselves in areas of pause, and we got to remember that God's still working. We're done. Like, I got to make it to Friday. Once we're past the funeral, then we'll see what we do. Once we get past the surgery and the 6-month recovery period, whatever, then we'll see where we are. Once we get to retirement, then we'll see. Once we get into the new quarter, then I can start looking for a new job. We're always looking at this deadline. God doesn't have a solid spot where he has to stop. He's got a plan. And even when we can't see him working, we need to be aware that he is. And that his plan is still being carried out. So while he said, all right, you guys come here, everybody else you stay here. Could you imagine what a mess that would have been if everybody who watched that woman get healed came too? What a mess that would have been. People ask, well, why did the Lord narrow it down? I don't know. If your daughter died, how many people you want in the house? Right? And when it came down to it, it was just those apostles, those select apostles and mom and dad when he went into the daughter. Why? Well, how many people you want there? The Lord has a care and a compassion for us. Whether it's he didn't want to dirty the floors or he didn't want to cause an emotional disturbance among mom and dad, he cared down to the tiniest of thoughts. Because he's got that level of wisdom. He has that level of knowledge. He says to them, be not afraid. You know, we don't know everything about every situation we're in. Wouldn't that be nice? You're sitting there, okay, well, what's going wrong here? We had some salt in our water. You ever have that for those of you with well water? Somebody took a big old swig of water and it was salty. And I said, no. So I go over, I take me a little cup of water, take me a little sip. Sure enough, it was salty. So I go down there and I stand in front of the machine like all of us men do. Ladies, do your husbands do that? You know for a fact they've never worked on something like that before, but they are going to lift the hood. I did. I made a phone call. Went to voicemail. I was waiting. And while I was waiting, because I'm a wonderful waiter, I started looking stuff up and I started fiddling with things and playing with this and cleaning that out. I wish I could just sit there and put my hand on something and go, oh, I got to fix this. Wouldn't that be nice, man? Wouldn't that be nice? Your car breaks down. It's the battery. That'd be wonderful. My father-in-law, I think he does have that power. You know, he'll just walk by something. He'll say, hey, listen, when was the last time you had your struts checked? Last time I was at the strut checker, I guess. I don't know. That'd be nice. We don't always know what. We don't always know how. But God does. And I cozied down there in my basement, and I was watching things, and I was reading things, and I pulled up the manual, and I pulled out a little valve, and I cleaned the valve off, and cleaned this line, and everything the guy on the internet told me to do, I did, which is dangerous, by the way. Don't listen to men on the internet. Plugged everything back in, backwashed the whole thing, told Xander, Xander, go upstairs, grab me a cup of water. He brought down water so salty and so nasty. I found Nemo on the inside, you know what I mean? There was remnants of the Titanic floating in it. The water was so salty. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking and I'm praying and I go, Lord, I did everything that guy told me to do and it didn't work. and it got done backwashing or it got done recycling is what it, cycling is what it's called, whatever it is, whatever. And it got done and it clicked and I said, all right, Xander, go get another. We flushed the system a couple times and we ran ourselves all the way out of water and let it come back and ran ourselves all the way out of water and let it come back. And he brought down this tasty water. I was so excited. I was so happy. And just as I pulled that cup off of my lips, Dave Bogner called me back. And I said, I did this and I did this and I did this. And he goes, listen, man, that's the only things you can do. He goes, with that system, that's the only thing you can do. And I said, and it worked. He goes, well, okay, well, there you go. I wish I could just sit there and that's what's wrong with it. I did a bunch of things. I don't even know what I did. I don't even know what did it. But it did it. I wish. Life's not like that. Doctor comes by. You ever see that on the old TV shows, those old sci-fi TV shows? Oh, your sodium is low. Right? Near. Oh, you're missing your arm. You know, there he is. Something silly like that, you know? We're just near him. Oh, I see. You've got the flu. We don't have that. But God knows exactly what's going on. So who do I go to? The Lord. I don't have anything to be afraid of. The only one who could do anything about it has the answers. It's wonderful. We might not know everything. And what we might know might not be good. Doctor comes in and he gives you the lung face. And what you do know ain't good. You're sitting there and you're looking at this situation, you're looking at that situation. Well, what's wrong with it? I don't know, but it's not starting. I was driving home last night, had to run to the store real quick, just out of certain things we needed. Tried to come down Mill Street, and they had it blocked off. Some of you were talking about it back there. Mill Street blocked off. So I went around, and I came back through, and I looked down the road, and sure enough, it was blocked off deep. It was a big section of blocked off road. And I sat there, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I know that's not good. You have to understand, up here, that's very serious. Two or three times when I was living in Southgate, we'd come home to SWAT in the backyard looking for a guy. Just looking around, there's a guy all dressed up in full SWAT gear walking around my backyard. And hey, we got dogs. Be careful. Scary. Hey, that ain't good. I don't know what it is, but it ain't good. And sometimes you get we used to see a cop sitting there on the street, and I fought so hard not to be nosy, because I didn't want that guy to take his eyes off the game, you know what I mean? Hey! No, it ain't good. Whatever's going on, that's not good. Even when what we do know isn't good, God still knows what he's going to do. Don't be afraid. You know, hey, what's going on with this? What'll happen in the future? What about our politics? What about this? What about that? Don't be afraid. Oh, sure, it looks crazy. I tell you what, the more you look at this world, the crazier it gets. I'm sitting there going, Lord, look at this thing. But don't be afraid. You know, things are starting to line up like the book of Revelation. Yeah, who wrote the book of Revelation? He knows what he's doing. It's the architect fulfilling his plans. Don't be afraid. We just need to ask the Lord for help. That's what we need to do. Lord, help me. Help me in the situation. In his case, Lord, help me with my daughter. I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know why she's sick. I don't know how to make this better. And it definitely looks like I'm about to lose her. Help. Help. And then help me with the other things. Give me peace. Give me understanding. Give me patience. Give me wisdom. Lord, help me with these things. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to ask. And you better believe he plans on helping. What else does the Lord say there to him? Only believe. Only believe. As we continue to read on, verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Now, I chuckle every time I get to that verse. Not because I'm a big guy and we're talking about food, but what was the biggest problem an hour ago? She's dying. What was the biggest concern as Jairus was sitting there walking through his house? If I go to Jesus, I'm giving up my career most likely. If I go to Jesus, I'll be a laughingstock. If I don't go to him, she'll die. And by the end of the chapter, hey, listen, somebody get her a sandwich. That tickles me. That gets to me. Because the biggest problem is we need a sandwich. When previous to that, the world was ending. His child was dying. People were moaning and crying. The minstrels were there playing on their instruments, singing the songs. And people had so given up that when Jesus came into the room and said, why is everybody bothered? She's just asleep. They laughed at him. That's how over the situation was. How do we go from needing a coffin and a burial plot to a sandwich? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Who else can offer that to us? Who else can sustain us and forbear us and get us through the pain and focus us in on what the problems are and be everything that we need, if not our Lord? I heard somebody give this. They were giving advice to somebody, and they said, "Well, I'm going to wait to start doing that until I get out of therapy." And the person goes, well, you never get out of therapy. You stay in therapy for the rest. You want to know why? It don't work. Listen, if I needed to jump the battery on my car everywhere I went, so I go to Kroger, I jump the battery on my car to get there, and I land in the grocery store, and now I need to go home, so I need to jump the battery on my car. And then I'm going to go to church on Sunday, so I got to jump the battery on my car. And then I'm going to go on down over here by the river, and I'm going to jump the battery on my car. And then I got to go over to Mom and Dad's house, so I jump the battery on my car. And can anybody tell me what's going on here? I'm trying to fix something that's not working. Yeah? And that's what this stuff is. Please, tell me about your feelings. And how does it relate to your mother? Ah, yes, yes. The advice I get from the Lord solves problems. Now listen, sometimes the brain's going to go wonky. You're going to need medication. I ain't picking on that. I will tell you this, though. The words that come out of their mouth, if it ain't biblical, it ain't right. And I'm sick and tired of people telling me that there's just some things Jesus can't do. Right? We hit 2020, and all of a sudden Jesus doesn't know how to help us. Right? Like these minstrels and these people sitting there, hey, don't worry, I'm going to fix this. Oh, really? You're going to go to church. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to look to God for answers. Why, yes. Yes, I am. Listen, I have had issues. I have had fights. I have had arguments. I have had problems. And God had an answer for every single last one of them. But let me tell you why we don't always look to him. Because often when we look to him, we find out we're wrong, and that's just a bridge too far for us. To tell me that I have to admit that I'm wrong? No, tell me it's my mom's fault. Tell me it's my dad's fault. Tell me it was the way I was raised. Tell me that it was because I was coddled. Tell me it was because my parents were too tough. Tell me because I could call everybody in my life growing up toxic. That's why I am the way I am. Here's what you need to understand. The bulk of our problems are us causing them. They're caused by us. And if you want to pay $200... to have someone tell you you ain't got a sin nature and you didn't cause the mess, well, you're wasting $200. Wasting. Oh, no, no. You see, you have a toxic family, you have a toxic this, you have toxic that, everything very toxic. But you are special and wonderful, and here's a trophy and a pat on the head. Good boy, good boy. Listen, I tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. You give me $25, I'll pat you on the back, tell you you're a good boy. I'll save your insurance and you a bucket of money. It's like people who do those scratch-off lottery tickets. I told somebody one time ago, I tell you what, why don't you, how much were you going to spend? Well, I got $100 for scratch-off lottery tickets. You give me 25, I'll give you 5 back and then I'll slap you in the face. Because that's what gambling with those things is, by the way. I won $5. You won $5 on the scratch-off tickets? Yeah. Well, how many did you buy? Well, you got to buy them to win. How many did you get? Oh, I got 20 bucks worth. So you gave them 20, you got 5 back, which means how many of those tickets? Well, I bought like, 4 tickets all together. Okay, so 3 of them were losers and you did, so 3 times you got slapped in the face. Aww. And you got 5 back, so give me the 20, I'll give you 5, and then I'll slap you 3 times. No, no. It's a joke. But you know what you could do? You could just honor God. What if you forgave people instead of holding bitterness as though by forgiving them, you'll be setting them free? What if we forgave people instead of trying to punish them with our bad thoughts? Well, you don't understand. They don't deserve forgiveness. Again, I'm going to tell you again. None of us deserve forgiveness. That's why it's called forgiveness. If there was nothing bad that happened, if they deserved it, they wouldn't have done the thing that caused them to need forgiveness. Just like you and God. If you were perfect, you never would have needed forgiveness. Well, there's just some things God can't do. We need modern day people who tell me that I can be whatever gender I want to be. They can tell me that it's never my fault. They can tell me I'm special just the way that I am. And it's a joke. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. I was talking to somebody, broke my heart. They were going through this whole transgender mess. Well, when I began it, the chemicals that I was taking, they didn't say chemicals. I say chemicals because I want to keep it in perspective. They said medicine. The medicine I'm taking, it began to have a bad effect on my body and it gave me anxiety. Okay? And then as things began to stabilize, I just kind of had a local anxiety. Okay? Well, why'd you go through all of this? Because I was having anxiety. It's like the Three Stooges. You ever see that one where they slap this hand and it comes all around and they hit the guy again? Well, what was the purpose of it? What was supposed to cure my anxiety so that I would feel how I feel on the inside? And how do you feel on the inside? Bad? Okay. Listen, I'm not saying that, like, the more I talk to folks that have gone through this, the more compassionate I'm getting towards them. If I sound like I'm mean towards them, come see me when I'm talking to them. It's rough. It's rough. And yet people think that that's their way to emotional freedom and God doesn't work, but this does, and it doesn't. And God don't work, but loads of TikTok and YouTube people telling me how I need to be unsatisfied with my life. That does help. No, it doesn't. Again, we've confused fixing a problem with being sedated through a problem or being distracted through a problem. Only believe. That's what we need. Only believe that whatever you're going through, God can do. Only believe. Well, okay, well, I believe in God, But also I'm going to tinker around with a little bit of this humanism here because it is quite popular and I feel kind of silly not including it in my life like everybody else does. No, only belief. Only belief. I'm not talking about not taking your medication. I'm not talking about jumping off of cliffs. I'm talking about if this is what God says to do, you do it. I believe Him. Every now and then I'll get sick and the doctor will say, all right, test is clear. Hey, praise the Lord. And I one time had a doctor look at me sideways as though I just completely bypassed his part of the thing, you know? Well, I had something to do with it. Yeah. And I'm glad the Lord bless you to be smart enough to be a doctor. And I'm glad God put you in this area so you could be my doctor. And I'm glad God gave you a good enough health to be here with the same days that I'm here so we could have our appointments. And I'm glad you did what you were supposed to do. Thankful for you. I'll give you a hug you want, you know. But I praise the Lord. Because anybody here, you ever see a doctor didn't do a good thing for you? I've been there. All right, we're going to try this. Did it work? No. You could have that experience again. But aren't you glad God stepped you and put you in with somebody who could take care of the issue? Some of you, you're still waiting for that. You're still waiting to get on the other side of that. Only believe. Only believe. Amen. That God will bring you to that point. And He will take care of the things that need to be taken care of. And I'll tell you this, He'll remove all doubt. Do you see what He was doing this entire time? That big old crowd. Well, who touched that? Lord, everybody. There's a lot of people here. Anybody could have touched you. What are you worried about? Let's leave those people behind. And the people that were laughing in the room, let's kick them out of the room. Because I'll tell you this, you start having and many of you have been living it for a while, but follow me on this turn of phrase. If you start living your life of not being afraid but only believing, there's going to be some people who poke some fun and try to discourage you. There's going to be some people that laugh you to scorn. What do you mean you're going to church? What do you mean you're going to pray about it? What do you mean you think God's going to do anything for it? Exactly what I said. Well, you know that sounds crazy. Crazy enough it just might work. Crazy enough it works every time. Again, not my way, not the way that I'd predicted, but in the best way, in the perfect way. We must believe. The Lord kicked out the crowd. He kicked out the scorners. You know what? He's going to remove your doubt too. He's going to remove your doubt too. You know, there have been some things that the Lord has said yes to. Enough in my life to where I don't even question it anymore. I'll pray, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here, but I know I need you. Lord, I don't know what the answers are here, but I've seen you do enough stuff that I don't have to worry about it. But Lord, show me what to do with my hands while I'm waiting. Show me what to do. Do I need to go to this? Remind me, Lord, to pray. Remind me to study. Remind me to be a good steward of what I'm doing. Remind me. Oh my. If we only believed, God would swiftly remove all doubt. Man, I've seen some fun things. I remember we were going down to camp one year and a tire blew on one of the vans we were driving. Now, not mine. I was sitting there in the one in the back and I saw the tire blow and the van started rocking back and forth like this and it dipped so far this way. You know that little foot runner? It scraped across the side, the freeway and shot it out from underneath the van. It was going like this. And the whole thing looked like it was about to tip. And I'm sitting there. If you've ever seen stuff like that, your heart starts to shake. And the thing just went, meep. And it slid off the road and into some mud and stuck in the mud. Now, if the mud wasn't there, it wouldn't have gotten sunk in. If it didn't get sunk in, the thing would have flipped it. The thing would have taken another shot at flipping. It was scary. Had a van full of kids. It was scary. I was a young man. It was a very scary thing to see. You know who showed up 30 seconds after that van came to a rest? I know what you're thinking. Was it a wrecker? Was it a tow truck? Nope. It was a bunch of German Baptist boys, a bunch of Amish guys with their big old horses. Guess who dug us out of that mud with their horse and buggies, with their horses, and undid the horses from the buggies. And I don't know how they did it, but they pulled that van up on out of there. Some of them praying with us. Some of us talk. One of them was talking doctrine with the pastor. So I'm going to tell you what. Now that and 1,000 other stories we could all sit around and tell. Lord, I'm not going to ask if you're going to do it. I'm going to ask how you're going to do it. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm afraid to ask. Think about it. Think about Joshua. Right? Lord, we got to start taking these cities. What am I supposed to do? Angel of the Lord shows up. You're going to walk around that bad boy. What? Well, you're going to walk around it. I'm going to walk around it? Yeah, you're going to walk around it. And then what? Well, then tomorrow you're going to get up, you're going to walk around it again. And then you're going to keep doing that. And on the seventh day, you're going to walk around that bad boy 7 times. And then you're going to blow trumpets. We're going to blow trumpets. You're going to blow trumpets. And then what will happen? The walls will come down. Now, don't start a demolition company based on that advice. That was special. That was for Joshua and the children of Israel. That's theirs. But I'll tell you this. As sure as their feet were tired on the seventh day, those walls fell down. Well, there was a little girl I knew. There's a tumor, and we don't quite know what we're going to do. Oh, hey, there's this malfunction with something going on with your heart. We don't know what we're going to do. Hey, there's this thing going on with the car. There's just nothing we can do for it. I did that. I was delivering car parts. If you're going to have a car breakdown, do it while you're working for a car company that delivers car parts. They don't make that part no more. Oh. Went to my boss. Hey, boss, listen, my car broke down. They don't make the part for it anymore. Okay, man, what car is it? What's the year? All right, we got one down in Illinois. I can have it up here tomorrow, $20. What do you say? Well, I was just car shopping 20 minutes ago, so $20 sounds nice to me. You know what I mean? And it's big stuff and small stuff and all the stuff. So I tell you what, there's no reason to be hanging on to doubt. When people start laughing, that's where you go. You laugh right on back. You'll see. You'll see. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you got to go to church? I told you I'd fire you if you didn't come in to do inventory on Sunday. If you're not here, I'll fire you. I think God will sort it out. Let me laugh at you. I'll fire you. Okay. All right. Well, see you Monday. So you're resigning? No. They always try to get me with that. So you're resigning? No. Well, fire me. You're going to have to fire me. You're going to have to say the words. You're going to have to look into my pretty blue eyes and say you're fired. Monday morning. All right, but don't do it again. Okay. Next time would come around. Matt, I'm assuming you're not coming. Yes, sir. You want me? I tell you what, why don't you give me some work for Saturday? I'll come and I'll do my half on Saturday. Is that okay? Good compromise. Happened all the time. Matt, if you don't start working on Sundays, I'll make sure you never work for this company again. 2 years later, I was in the position she said I would never get to, and she got fired. Not because I'm clever, not because really I'm all that competent, but because God. She was, I'll be honest with you, she was better at her job than I was mine. And God took care of me. Illnesses, both yours and others, we see that there's very little that God can't do. And I've heard and seen of people being saved that makes no sense. People sit there and say, that person got saved? Yeah. That's weird. Why? Why would that be weird? Doesn't make any sense for me. God saves them all. He saves any of them. There's not a particular person. The Bible says, whosoever, right? Tall, short, rich, poor, good, bad, in the jail, outside of the jail, the most perfect person you know in your neighborhood, the person who's an absolute train wreck, all of them. Whosoever. People say, well, whosoever means that you get to choose. No, whosoever means whatever kind. Of no distinction whatsoever. So you tell me somebody who threw their keys down at the church said, I'm never coming back to church again. And you show me 20 years later, he comes in and says, I was never saved, but I'd like to be. I'd never saved, but the Lord saved me last night. I'd like to join the church. I believe that all day. Hey, listen, you know, I grew up in church. I got out of church, and it took me 20, 30 years to get back in church. I'll buy it. I'll buy it because that's what the Lord does. So what do I doubt? What do I fear? If it's only mine to believe, I shouldn't really have access to fear. And if I do have it, I know the Lord didn't give it to me. I know it didn't come because I'm focusing on Him. So what must I do? What the Lord said. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.